Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this Fusion Sunday that we will be hearing from Roy and some special music guests along with the choir. Quite a bit of folk music this morning for Fusion Sunday. So we are glad that you are here to enjoy that. And as we enter into the summer this weekend, really officially, a reminder that children are welcome to stay in worship with their parents, or the younger ones, if they would like, may go to the nursery following the children's sermon. We have a few announcements this morning. One is to share with you that Carol Ann is on vacation this morning, so keep her in prayers, as well as the Guatemala mission team who has arrived safely and are doing well, so continue to hold them in prayer. And announcements this morning, Gary.
Good morning. If you haven't already picked up your reserve tickets for the baseball game for this Friday, we're hoping for good weather, which I have no control over. A win would be nice. I have no control over that either. So I don't have any control over those. What I can tell you is I picked up 100 tickets the other day for the game. So we'll have a lot of people there and hopefully a great turnout. Thanks.
Just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone that helped yesterday for the Clinker Bricks 5K run walk. We had 108 runners and walkers. We had 18 little fun runners, and we had lots of help volunteers out on the course as well as in here, providing fellowship to those coming into our church. So thanks again, everyone. Again, one of those things, everybody just kind of shows up and we get it done, and it's always turns out to be a great event. So thank you, everyone.
Good morning. We are going to be providing the best Jamaican dinner ever on July 20th. Tickets are on sale today. Contribution is $15 per adult and $7.50 for children 12 and under. So we'll be in the fellowship hall after worship. And thanks to Ken Burpek for printing the tickets for us. We're gladly accepting food donations, and there's a sign-up sheet on the kiosk. Thank you so much.
And also a special thank you to Gordon Chapman and Ed Coons and all the wonderful volunteers who worked on the parade float that came by yesterday. It was absolutely wonderful to have Gates Presbyterian Church represented in the bicentennial celebration. So thank you. A lot of great things happening this summer, so keep tuned in to your bulletin and also your Harbinger to find out what those are. And now let us worship God together.
Somebody's knocking at your door.
As with all Fusion Sundays, we have a little bit different way of worshiping God this morning. Please stand for the call to worship. Our responses together are going to be sung. And so Rick Howe is going to lead us through that, this first go-round, and then I'll start into the litany and we'll respond in song. So let's go through it once. Let's try it. Ready?
Two.
As the people make their way to the banks of the river. Where the Spirit comes down from the heavens, which once hovered over the surface of the deep waters. Songs of the common people will echo on the riverbanks as we enter his waters again.
Together we praise the Lord.
Come, O people, drink the life-giving water, bathe and be made clean. A new song to the God of our baptism.
Together we praise the Lord.
When we come to worship God, we bring our whole selves. Let us bring all our brokenness before God and one another, and saying together our printed prayer of confession. O God, we have come to waters of your mercy, covered in grime and sweat. We have waited too long to be washed again, when you would gladly make us clean by your grace. We ask that you would make us fresh and remove from us every impurity under your cool waters. We ask that you would make your spirit to come down on us again. Forgive us now for those ways in which we have knowingly and unknowingly sinned against you. We have passed through the waters of slavery and sin into freedom. We are made clean. May we be to the world that first fragrance of the kingdom lands. So may it be on earth as in heaven. Amen. At this time, the children are invited to come forward. Together, isn't it? Well, can anyone tell me what season it is now? What is it? Summer! Yeah! What does that mean? Is school done? So what are you guys doing for the summer? Anything fun? No? Does anyone have any camp that they get to go to? Yes? Anyone going to the beach or the pool? Yes? How about grandparents? Do you get to hang out with your grandparents? Maybe a few adventures? That's pretty exciting, isn't it? And as we see from worship this morning, a lot of our friends are adventures. Are we good? All right. So what we are going to do this morning is for summer. Can you think you guys can do that? This is going to require some standing, okay? So, the first group I'm going to ask to stand, and then I'm going to ask everyone in the congregation to participate too. So, when I call on you, you got to stand up. So, I want God, as summer begins, be with us at the pool, at camp, at home, at our grandparents' houses, the beach, even at summer school. Wherever we go, help us to have fun and be good disciples. Now the teachers. If teachers would stand. If you're a teacher, stand up. And students, stay standing. Take a look at who they are. These are the people having fun. God of Sabbath, be with these teachers and help them to enjoy the change of pace. Help them to receive the rest and relaxation in these short months so that they may be ready to guide, nurture, and encourage and care for students in the fall.
All right, parents, your turn. And everyone keep standing. If you're a parent, stand up. A parent of a child. All right. And if you're a grandparent, you can stand too. Patient God, this time of year brings new schedules, activities, and stress. Be with these parents and grandparents as they juggle running children from this place to the next. Reveal for them the slower moments when they can enjoy fun as a family. Help them to know that they are loved, and so are their kids. All right. For everyone to whom the end of school makes no difference to you whatsoever, stand up. Accepting God, it is easy to feel that everyone else is on vacation or doing interesting new things, while other folks keep at it, hold us close, remind us that you are with us in the ongoing everydayness of life. And if you aren't already standing, you can stand up, and it looks like everyone already is. God, you are all around us, no matter where our summer adventures may lead, either to our backyards or far away. You are with us in all places, loving us, watching over us. Bring us back to this place as often as possible to worship you together through the upcoming months. Amen. Amen. I hope you guys have a great summer back here.
The first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 114. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, Jordan turned back, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why is it, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water.
Our second scripture reading this morning is the third chapter of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, 'The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight.' Now John wore clothing of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our ancestor." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, does not bear good fruit. It is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." It occurred to me as I was reviewing the text for this morning that it is our final Fusion Sunday program of the year as we get settled into the Rochester rhythm of summer. It's hard to believe that it was almost 2 years ago what were known as Family Sundays became Fusion Sundays. Family Sundays were explained to me when I first arrived as your pastor that they were the last Sunday of the month when there was no Sunday school. And then it was assumed families would have an opportunity to worship together. But here's the thing about families worshiping together. When children spend 3 out of 4 weeks of a month worshiping in 15-minute increments, expecting them to worship for an hour, and sometimes longer if the preacher thinks she has something important to say, is a really long time to be in a pew. Some people of any age might argue that that is a long time to be in a pew. Now, during my first year here at GPC, almost 3 years ago, wow, where does the time go? I couldn't help but notice that the pews were a bit emptier on those family Sundays. I observed that families found it challenging to have little ones sit still and be engaged in traditional forms of worship for that long. And when accommodations were made on those Sundays, other folks found the kid-friendly elements of worship too simplistic. And maybe one or two people still thought the preacher went on too long. Now, I know that there's no way to make everyone happy, but Carol Ann and I, along with others in the congregation, began to wonder, what would worship look like if it was intentionally planned as an intergenerational experience? Not just kid-friendly, not even family-friendly, but truly where all ages, personalities, comforts, and needs had a moment to enter and be fused into the worship experience of God. So we began to think about the full spectrum of diversity here at GPC. We thought about the different generations represented in our congregation, but also went further to think about the vast experiences of faith people have, no matter their age. Some folks have grown up in this church or others their entire lives, and others have just started worshiping. We can no longer assume that anyone, a child or an adult, is familiar with what some might consider traditional elements of worship, common stories of the Bible, the Lord's Prayer, or even the tune of the doxology. And the concept of family at GPC is pretty broad, too. We have one or both parents worshiping with one, two, sometimes three generations. We have aunts, uncles, grandparents who bring children that are part of their lives here to worship. We also have interfaith and interdenominational families that are trying to navigate the cultural and faith traditions. And there are couples here at GPC with one spouse who finds God to be a very important part of their life, and a partner who doesn't. But both are committed as a family to being part of a community and encouraging their children to learn and to question and make decisions for themselves about their own beliefs. So Fusion Sunday became an opportunity for all people to be open to the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit in the many ways which we praise and worship God. This congregation is incredibly bold. We're willing to try more interactive and creative expressions of worship, like prayer stations. We have utilized more technology and also incorporated a variety of music that has encouraged us to try contemporary folk, like this morning, jazz music, and ancient forms of song. Not to mention a few bagpipes thrown in. Now, if you don't have small children, you may not have even realized that this fusion concept has spread beyond worship. The Young Children's Committee is doing a fantastic job with the fusion room and drawing upon the unique God-given gifts of GPCers to share with our children. Not to mention the Advent Festival in December and Family Fun Night coming up in a few weeks. If you haven't had a chance to sign up, it's on the kiosk. Because if you haven't been to one of these opportunities, you'll quickly learn that they aren't just for kids. These are events where all ages have an opportunity to learn and grow in faith together. Well, I've done a very good job making this sound absolutely wonderful and idyllic, haven't I? My husband often comments that I should have gone into sales instead of ministry. I could sell a Yankee hat to a Tiger fan. Well, as long as it's not my husband, of course. But these worship experiences and opportunities are wonderful. But the real reason I get so excited about these different ways of experiencing God's presence coming together is because of how unpredictable, noisy, and messy, and incredibly beautiful it is to witness this congregation welcome and care for those who gather in this place to worship God. Babies cry, and people don't turn to stare or glare. Parents follow toddlers wandering up and down the aisles, and the adults whose children are grown smile, fondly remembering those days but are glad they are over, but are eager to play peekaboo over a pew. And our young children, every week from Sunday school, bring their prayers to us. They trust us with those prayers. Prayers about the death of a goldfish, natural disasters, an upcoming soccer tournament, and health for a sick grandparent. And we smile at the sweetness, but we don't laugh because we know that these prayers are very serious. And our junior high youth, in the midst of their awkwardness and growing up and coming into their own, embrace leading liturgy with more confidence than some adults. And the senior high youth share their stories of faith through testimony in worship following week-long work projects. Even adults are starting to pick up on the importance of sharing their faith stories through testimony too. Many comments were shared following the Memorial Day Fusion worship service we had. And then when tables are set up around the sanctuary for prayer stations, it takes a little extra patience to maneuver around them. And sometimes the pew you normally sit in isn't easy to get to. And I've noticed that some folks will sit somewhere else near someone they don't know as well. A smile then turns into a handshake. And a, "Hi, my name is so-and-so." I'm terrible with names, so even if you've told me 10 times, maybe you could remind me again. And then that leads into people praying for one another. Even if you don't remember their name by the 100th time, God does. So we keep praying. And quite possibly, one of my most favorite examples of how unpredictable, noisy, messy, and beautiful way the Spirit moves through this congregation was to witness everyone shake it all about with their backsides in and their backsides out. As we hokey-pokeyed together through the laughter and grimaces of pain, realizing they didn't build these pews for the hokey pokey. And some of the very wonderful, exciting ways that we come together and move as the family of God. In all fairness, I don't need to sell practicing the fusion of our different experiences of God as idyllic or wonderful, because we have committed through promises made in baptism to embrace all the unpredictable, noisy, and messy aspects of life. This also seems to be the mode of operation of Jesus. In the scripture story this morning, we heard the whole third chapter of Matthew. Typically, this chapter is divided into two stories that we hear apart from one another. The first half, on one of the first Sundays in Advent, and on the second half of the story on the baptism of the Lord's Sunday in the middle of January. But hearing them together, we have an opportunity to take a bigger picture look of Jesus' baptism, especially John the Baptist. He's the kind of guy that you want a big picture of. Here's this street preacher. Not the slick, suited kind of street preacher with glossy handouts on salvation. No, John was the straggly, stinky, don't pay attention to me. Turn around and pay attention to God because the kingdom's at hand kind of preacher. And indeed, the hands of John the Baptist were covered in the dirt of the wilderness, and underneath his fingernails, the evidence of his locust and honey lunch. And Jesus assures John and the people gathered at the river for baptism that day, that it is with such messiness and for such messiness Jesus has come. And the heavens open. The Spirit moves. And God makes sure that no one misses what all of this means. That along with Jesus, we, with all our messiness, are God's beloved community. That not everything in our lives or our worship experiences are perfect or happen as we planned them to. There are mistakes, and sometimes they don't turn out like we want them. We have questions, and we aren't satisfied with easy answers. Like John, perhaps we question ourselves if we're good enough to be loved or accepted. We think we're too old. We think we're too young. We think we're too far gone and possibly don't know how far we've come. We are gathered to hear the promises that God is pleased with us because we are God's. In this place, we are committed to being a community that reminds each other in a variety of ways that we belong to God. Our variety of worship experiences here at GPC, the ways we learn and grow, give and serve, are fused by these promises and the ways that we live them out together. A celebration indeed. Thanks be to God.
As I went down to the river to
raise your hand so the usher can locate you. And please remember.
At Coons, last Wednesday, my nephew Nathan was supposed to have a kidney transplant. Unfortunately, the donor's surgeon was sick, and the surgery was canceled. And hopefully, it's going to be rescheduled for this Tuesday. So I'd ask for prayers for Nathan and successful surgery for his kidney transplant. Thank you.
Bridget Wohlers. Last week I asked for prayers for Tim Day, who was supposed to have an assistive device placed in his heart. He had that procedure and everything was looking good until the end of the week, where he had a very rare reaction to the device, had to have the whole thing taken out and replaced emergently. So he is now doing better again, hopefully on the road to recovery, but he and his family need continued prayers. Thank you.
Irene Ward, many of you have been asking me how everyone's doing in Guatemala, and the answer is they're all doing well. They arrived safely. They are in Randall Shays Village and are enjoying their time there. So continued prayers, and they're very grateful to be there. Thank you.
Jan Buettner, I just have some joys. This morning you're talking about teachers and students. We have my granddaughter's graduation party today. She was valedictorian of her class at North Star this year, going to Roberts next year. My son is in town from Fort Dix, and his girlfriend and her daughter are in town from Georgia for a few days, and we got relatives coming from Buffalo, so it's just going to be a great afternoon, and so it's just a joyful day, and it's a great weather.
Janice Bilalovic, I have a joy. We have our son Greg and his daughter Tiffany with us. Jenny Smith, I'd love prayers for Fred Buff, who was taken to the hospital yesterday with a kind of a scary situation. He'll be there until Tuesday, when he is going to continue his life's journey at the Veterans Home in Batavia. Please pray for him and for our family, who is going to miss him greatly. Thank you.
Jessica Berkovich, last week I went to New Jersey for a youth conference, and there's only four girls, and it was a great time, but while we were there, my friend's grandpa had hip surgery, and two days after the surgery, he tried to get up and walk, and he broke his pelvis and fractured his skull. So just prayers for healing.
Joanne Vander, I have a joy too. We have Linda Price, who's been a longtime member here, visiting us from Texas.
Peter Derry, just want to say what a joy it was yesterday to be a part of the 5K. And as I looked out and I thought, look at the runners and walkers and the folks who are out doing marshalling and stuff. What commitment. And you could see it on the faces with every step they took. Some of it in their own style. And I thought, these are my and our brothers and sisters. And when they commit, Gates Presbyterians do it. What a joy I got.
My face was commitment. It was surely pain. And prayers of joy welcoming all of our musicians this morning. Thank you for your leadership this morning. It says,
okay, I'll add to that, okay?
I don't know. Is it okay?
I just look around here. Thank you to you and the talented people. You're going to go out of here with the praise of God and up so uplifting. I think we could all use that. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Walter Rushon, I have a joy this morning. My cousin Faye and daughter from Toronto are visiting with us for the weekend.
Carrie Dykes, I'd like to ask for prayers for Gary's father, Tom Dykes, who's suffering with some kidney stones.
Let us continue our time of prayer. Loving Creator and Guide, we praise you for being present to us wherever we are on the journey of faith and fusing us together as your people. We thank you for knowing our needs even better than we do and for accompanying us each step and season of life. Hear us now as we lift up to you all who struggle, those who struggle with doubt and uncertainties and unanswered questions. God, we pray for those who are discouraged or captive to addiction, depression, or mental health diseases. God, we pray for caregivers, professional and family members. We pray for leaders of this world, our nation, and local communities. Many decisions have been made this week, O God, impacting our sisters and brothers seeking justice and fairness in all aspects of life. Help us to work for your kingdom. And we pray for peace in places of violence and war, in our city, in our nation and world. And we pray for our enemies. We pray for ourselves and all your church, that we may be your faithful witnesses, whether we're in our backyards or as far away as Guatemala and Jamaica. God, help us to serve you and your people. And all these things we lift up to you with the confidence of your abiding love and presence in our lives, made known to us through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue.
Receive our humble offerings, O Lord, for your work in the world. Bless those who give, those who send, and those who will receive these gifts. May our offerings sow seeds of hope and bear the fruit of love wherever they are sown. Amen.
I gently rise and softly.